Father in heaven, we thank you again for this night, Lord. One of these days, we'll worship our last time. One of these days, full on, the church body as a whole will worship the last time here until we get to glory. And we thank you for these days. And Lord, we thank you for the memory, I'm sure, of what took place in this life on the other side to realize we're there because of Jesus Christ. Now we pray tonight, help us to get through here and as we pass through. Lord, this book tells us how not only to get to be your child and be at the heaven home on the other side, but tells us what to do while we're here. And we pray that we learn from the characters in the scriptures who in the past have walked this walk, and dear Lord, these would be means of helping us to understand our lives and claim the same truths they claimed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me tonight, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. In Proverbs chapter 20, here in verse 18, one verse of scripture, and we're going to go to about four places. It says, every purpose is established by counsel. Every purpose. He's talking about in life. His example is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. Look with me in Psalms, if you will, chapter 17. Back over in Psalms chapter 17. We see a psalm of David. And David says in verse 3, thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. Now why? He's talking to God in his prayer, and he said to God, thou hast proved my heart. You put me through the test. You put me through the trials, and you proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. That means in the nighttime, always the worst things seem to happen, and that's where he has been brought through in the night. And he says, thou visit me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. And verse, the latter part of that verse says, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now David said, I am purposed in my life that my mouth shall not transgress. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing when you look at David, because David had a pretty unusual life. He did some horrible things, but he learned his lessons by confessing and growing as he grew in things. Things that were terrible happened to him, he learned how his life should be and asked God to forgive him. And at this time, he said, the reason God has done these things and proved him, he said, I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Also, look with me over in Daniel, if you can turn there quickly. If not, write these down or read later. In the book of Daniel in chapter 8, Daniel has been taken down to Babylon by the Babylonians. He's a slave. And they've been giving him the king's meat on the table. They've been giving him the wine that the king had. And he's refusing to eat from the king's table there because it's a pagan world. And the menu was not what the Jews should be eating. And in verse 8, Daniel said, but Daniel purposed, there's that word again, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. He talked to a fellow by the name of Melzar. And this was, he just said, look, I'm not going to do this. And he talked to him and told him, hey, listen, you better for the king. He said, I'll give you a situation. He said, you let us for 10 days not eat from the king's table and just eat the food that we're supposed to eat, in so many words, and then check us out. And this is what Melzar did. He let him wait 10 days. And notice in verse 15, he said, at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which they'd eat the portion of the king's meat. Isn't that amazing? The food that God prescribed was better than what the king down in Babylon had. And you know what Daniel said? He said, I purpose in my heart. I determined in my heart I was not going to disobey God and eat this from the king's table and drink the wine and mess that the king had in that day. Now turn over to, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll take one verse and then we'll get into the message quickly. In chapter 9, the Apostle Paul said, every man according to his purpose in his heart. Some people talk about giving to the Lord. Some people say, well, you purpose in your heart to give something, so that's not necessarily the tithe. Well, if you purpose in your heart to give, you want to start with just the tithe. Because that's what God called, asked the Old Testament to do. And that was it. The tithe is his, he said. He never told us that it was not his. But he said, every man, according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I've used that word some four times in different situations to show there are God's people in Old and New Testament decided there's some things that they need to do and purpose for them to do before they can really control what they're doing for the Lord, allowing the Lord to control them. I want to speak to you a few minutes on living a purposeful life. The word purpose means to intend, to plan, to resolve something that you're going to do, and in this case, be for the glory of God. Every purpose is established by counsel that we see in Proverbs, Solomon said. He teaches us that David said, that I'm purposed that my mouth shall not transgress, talking about against God, determined that he's not going. And I believe this came after what took place as far as his life before he wrote that psalm. He realized he had done some terrible things and he had havoc in his house all the days of his life. But that didn't mean he had to be where he was at before. One of the amazing things he can say to people, some people say, well, you just don't know my background. You just don't know I am who I am because of my mother and my dad or because of the circumstances I am. Listen, there's not one in this world that God can't change them from their circumstances. You can blame anybody you want to, but the end results will be when you stand before God, you'll have to blame yourself because God can change anything. You don't find that family inheritance of family in the past can determine our destiny because God himself can change our destiny. And he will do that for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to speak to you a few minutes. And of course, you move on over. And Daniel said that he was not going to defile himself at the king's table. He purposed in his heart. And then Paul talked about purpose in heart, about giving. You know, ladies and gentlemen, my generation is gradually passing the torch of life to a younger generation. There was a time, everyone was in here, someone passed it to us. We grew into adulthood. And then finally, even older, and now many are approaching the old age. But there comes a time that the torch is passed to the next generation, and the generation have bring forth. We've seen in our church this year alone, the last few months, a number of folks have died. Some of the elder of our church have died. So my generation is gradually passing the torch of life to another generation, and to the younger generation that's here tonight. They're going to be where we're at one of these days, or don't come back. Everything that we face, they're going to have to face. And they're going to learn a lot of things like we had to learn. I guess it's because all of us here never listen to those who go before us much anyhow, because we think we're going to change things. But you know, if you're not careful, Satan's powerful enough, he changes things rather than God. And God can, but God chooses to change by that who purpose in his heart to serve him. You know, ladies and gentlemen, he'll never make us serve him, but he'll show us the consequence one day that we'll be sad because we didn't. He'll not make us, but he gives us the opportunity. Now, as we do pass this to the next generation, you'll find that inside every large problem that one faces, there is a series of small problems struggling to get out. To run away is always the easier of two options to do. You can even stay and face the problems, or you can run from the problems. And I got news for you that if you run, there's always a ship waiting to sail at Joppa, just like for Jonah, to take us away from God himself. In life, when walking across a dry place, loneliness and broken, you feel the thirst of the soul, and only God can satisfy that. I've talked with people and counseled with people, and Barbara and I have at times, and the only problem was they had a thirst and couldn't identify it, and all it was is God gave them a thirst, and they wanted to take another route other than the way that God wanted them to go. Only in the throne room of prayer and in the chamber of worship will the thirst be quenched. We have mountaintop experiences. But you'll be in the valley some too. Probably be in the valley more than on the mountainside. And it's in the valley God is needed. But you'll find that sometimes on the mountaintop we may forget how much he's needed. And he puts us back into a valley again. So keep in mind, whatever you face, God is still in charge. And it's things that God can either deliver us through something, or he can deliver us from something. Either way, he delivers us. Sometimes we feel like, well, what, God, what are you delivering from this? He might see that deliver us in something would help us better than deliver us from something. That's right. See, God's way is not our ways. God's way, His thoughts are not our thoughts. God holds the rings of this universe with a calm grip. He is not making decisions in heaven by flipping a coin. Did that surprise you? He's not pulling out that golden coin that He has and saying, well, let's see what I'm going to do about this one. No, He don't do things like that. Sometimes people here will do that. Should I do this or this? Well, I'll just flip a coin, see which way that I want to go. He never sleeps. He is not making decisions in heaven, like I said, flipping coins. He never sleeps. He never gets confused. He never loses track about what is going on. He never frets. He never worries. He never says, wow, there's a mess down there. What in the world am I going to do? Now, sometimes we say, wow, God, what are you doing? Why don't you let this happen? But God said, no, it's not that way with Him. He's always working. And if things are looking in a mess, it's in His providential will that's happened that way, but that mess is going to turn out good for Him before it's over with. Because He lives even when generations go and leave this world, you say. Yet there'll be times you say, but preacher, wait a minute, where is God at? Does He care? Why do I have this problem? I'm talking about living a purposeful life. And if we're not living a purposeful life for Him, more than likely we won't get those answers like we should and like we want to get at different times. He cares. Does He care? Why do I have this problem? And you learn that God's permissiveness is a great misunderstanding at times. And yet God pleads for His people to obey His word, but He allows them to make the choice. And that's where the elements come. A person can know what to do and not make the choice right and not end up as good as it would be otherwise. You know good as I do. There's sometimes you make good choices and end up right. You make bad choices and it ends up wrong. God works with us. He said, I'll lay it out there on the plate for you. You make the choice, and then I want you to know in my permission is I will let you make the choice even though you misunderstand it, but I want you to know that when I make you allow you to make the choice, then there's a consequence coming. God works in and through us, but He demands our cooperation in His venture for us. And I want to give you three quick things about living a purposeful life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important. A purposeful life is a life full of goal, or is a life that has goals in it. Number one is simple this. To live a purposeful life, you need a purpose in life. You hear what I'm saying? To be, boy, that's great. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Just know that. To have a purposefully life, you need to have a purpose in life. I need to have a purpose in life. Without a purpose, we'll waste valuable time. Without a purpose for activity, we will invent our own practice of time. And more than likely, you know, when we invent it, we waste it. We waste time because there's no purpose. Give an example. A neighbor went next door to knock on the door of a neighbor who had a little six-year-old boy came to the door. And he asked the little boy, he said, where's your dad at, son? He said, oh, he's somewhere in there playing golf. He said, where's your mother at? He said, last I heard, she was back there in the garden somewhere or another working in her flower bed. And he said then to her, where's your sister at? He said, she's gone to the store to get some candy. And then the man said, well, let me ask you, in all of this, he said to him, what are you doing in the house? And he said, well, sir, it's like this. He said, I could be outside, but he said, I have to go. He said, I've got the old tomcat in the freezer trying to see if I can turn him into a polar bear. Well, he had a purpose, even his wrong purpose, wasn't it? The others were wasting time. He thought he was really using his time, even though he was doing something that was wrong. We need a purpose when it comes to our life. Now, Christ is our example. There's no resignation. There's no fantasy. There's no denial. There's just reality that's born in struggle as we face Him. We see that struggle in the Psalms. We see that most of the Bible applies and speaks to us, but Psalms speaks for us. These writers in the Psalm, and most of David wrote, are speaking for us as he faced different things in life. It amazes me when I look at, I'm working on Psalms 23 and Psalm 55, I think it is now. And it amazes me what David says in Psalms 23. But when you get to Psalms 55, he's lost everything and about looks like he had in Psalms 23. His life is a mess in Psalm 55, and yet in Psalm 23, and I won't get into the message now, but I've been working weeks on that. It amazes me the difference what David has said in Psalm 23 compared to what he said, and I think it's Psalm 55. It's one of those psalms in here. I think that's what it came to mind, and I think it is 55. I'll tell you later if it's not. Amen. I'm just working on it in the beginning stage now. So we see struggle in these psalms. So we all need a purpose. Number two, to fulfill that purpose begins with a thought. If you don't think about it, you're not going to have a purpose. Purpose don't happen just haphazardly. That's most time accidents, if you do that. But talk about a purpose. To fulfill that purpose begins with a thought. Your thought life dominates and shapes your attitude. Our attitudes are the sum total of our thoughts. Attitudes lead you to your actions. Thought is the father of deeds. What you do comes from thought. If not, you're not in control. If you're doing just anything and the mind's not in control with a thought, you're going to radically be like a vegetable just about. Things that this body does comes because you had a thought, and that thought began to create an attitude towards your actions. Thought is the father of deeds. Before you act or perform out something, it must cross your mind if it's going to be that when you're in control. I'm talking about this thing of a purpose in life. So thoughts lead to attitudes, and attitude leads to action, and action leads to achievements, whether it be good or bad. You may achieve something just as bad as it is good, but it started with a thought. You can purposely choose that which is good rather than bad, but it'll still start with a thought. Whether it's something you do bad or good will start with a thought. And that'll lead you to an attitude that you began to move towards an action somehow or another. So the achievements in your life will be the sum totals of your thought. And that's what Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." See, we don't realize just who we are. We're in the image of God, but we have something over the animals, ladies and gentlemen. We can think. We can hear, we can analyze, we can listen to God's voice in the sense that we either act or react or decide to act or not. Animals' instinct just do how they're made. We can rebel against God or not rebel against God. And here, it all starts with a thought. So the Bible teaches us we ought to protect our thoughts. The mind is the battleground between Satan and God. Evil, lustful thoughts robs God of his glory and his praise. Therefore, control what enters into your mind. If not, Satan, who is a liar and a deceiver, will give you and face you. Listen, you just live this week and he'll pass everything he can before you. You'll have to purposely do something to study this book. It won't be easy. You have to purposely say, God, I need to learn. I need to learn something when you open this book and study it and prayerfully study it, because it don't come automatically. There has to be an effort for it. There has to be a purpose for it. We have to be like David and others that, Lord, I purpose in my heart to do. I purpose that I'm going to read my Bible. I purpose that I'm going to study. I purpose to look into it for things that I need in my life that I know of. Help me find subjects in it where others have been there so I can purposely learn what they learned and be as good as I can to follow that's biblically in your precious word. It's impossible to keep evil thought patterns out. But you do not have to allow them to take root in our heart. Make your mind a sanctuary for God, not a cesspool for Satan. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? This heart ought to be a sanctuary for God, where you can have an intimate relationship with him and peace be there. By the way, I'll tell you, that'll help you have an intimate relationship better with your wife or your husband and your family when we have that with him. What was horrible yesterday seems to be acceptable today in society. This has become a stepping stone for what will be worse tomorrow. Everything we see happening now in society that's evil is a stepping stone to make things worse tomorrow. That's the reason God could say, seeing man's heart, man's going to wax worse and worse and worse and worse in this life. So this becomes a stepping stone for tomorrow. Someone said, well, preacher, I do not believe what you see affects you. You ever hear that? There's a lot of folks promoting stuff now. What you see don't affect us. We can turn it off, turn it on. No, you can't. No, you can't. This body is more powerful than you are unless you purpose in your heart about some things. And if you purpose in your heart about some things, you're going to put things in here which in turn won't lead you astray. And the thing that the scripture sets forth, preach, I just don't believe you see things, what you see affects you. But tell me this. Have you ever noticed that around football time and these tournaments you have, that they'll throw a 15 to 30 second commercial on a sports show? Just throw a 15 to 30 second. Why? by the time you bat your eyes, it's gone. Why do they do that? They'll pay millions of dollars to put a 15 to 30 second thing on one of these sports shows. Why? They know if they flash it there and you see it, it's going to come out somewhere or another. Because it registers, folks. And some things can register we don't want register. That's why you don't want to dwell on some things at times. They know that we will let what we let come back in some form or another. You see, sin seals our lips for God. What am I saying? I mean, you can't speak for God with sin in your life. It's like that. It's not going to work. You're going to have to be clean to speak for God when you stand before Him. Again, sin destroys our testimony. Sin intimidates you. Sin makes you forget right things. Sin makes you fearful. Sin causes you to feel inadequate. Sin dishonors God. Sin is against God. And when we cover sin, God uncovers it. And when we uncover sin, we confess it. And then God literally covers it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how we can see things and purpose the things and know we have the power of God with us to do those things which we want to do for His glory. The flood in Noah's day was due to their hearts. Go read Genesis 6. You say, son, God just sent flood. No, He says He did it because of their hearts. And you find also what He says in Luke 17:26. Evil imagination led to degradation. Degradation was so vile, God destroyed them in that particular day with water. And when God lives in a heart, He enables a person to think and live and do right. Without Him, you think wrong. With Him, you think right. Without Him in thinking wrong, that leads to those things that you live and do wrong. With Him, though, we have the chance, at least the chance, the purpose, to try to live right with God's help, and He's willing to help us. Dr. Victor Kine, professor of psychology in University of Utah, he said there's four steps to poison a person psychologically. The first step is the additional step, or the additional factor. That means you can't let go. It can't. It's just something you got to have. It's like addicted to it. I've got to have it. I can't let go. He said the second one's escalation factor. He said you can't let go because of addiction. You can't let go, he said, because the thrill and the turn of that satisfied the flesh, and the dirtier it is, the better it is. If you got something you can't let go, then the next thing, the escalation factor, you let something come in a little, and Satan knows if he can get inside the spiritual fence just a little with something that's bad, it's going to escalate unless you get it out. That's the way it works. Then he talks about the desensitization factor. That means when you find yourself can't let something go, and then it's really escalating to thrill your flesh and what you're doing, the next thing you're going to say, nothing wrong with this. There's anything wrong with this. It's perverse is normal to this type of person. That which is wrong don't even seem to be wrong. Why? Because more than likely you can find a lot of others doing the same thing. And we measure ourselves by what the public's doing, and more of the public seem to be measuring more than what God has said. So if you have the addiction factor, you can't let go, and you have the escalation, now you're just thrilled with it, and you find that your desensitized factor, nothing wrong with it, then the fourth one is there's the practice factor. It becomes your lifestyle. Unsaved people who live in the midst of sin, in depths of sin, don't even realize their lifestyle is something God condemns. And the only thing can reverse that is God Himself. You cannot put a fire out with gasoline. We are creatures of gradualism. Unless it pleases us, and then we can move fast if it pleases the flesh. Somebody says sometime, you know, I had this little thing, I didn't think it'd be so bad, and all of a sudden, look what happened. Creatures of gradualism, it'll be gradually if you grow in grace of the Lord. Because it'll come, and light will live light, and you find if you believe the light that God gives is more light. If you don't believe the light that God gives you about anything, there will be no more light to further you anymore. Light generates light. And when light is shown and it's not given us insight to know more about God, we regress back towards darkness. We don't sit still. When we find ourselves, I believe again, that's what Paul's talking about when he said faith to faith to faith. Every time you believe something by faith, God gives light. And then when you believe that, there's more light for the next step of faith. And there's more light for the next step of faith. But you can't have that light in step of faith if God said something wrong. You say, well, I don't believe it's wrong just because I want to do it. That can't be a factor. If it is, you never grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Now, I know there's people that say that's not true. But look at them. Watch them. We can't say no to God about what he wants us to do and expect to grow like we should grow. Well, they'll say, that's your opinion about no. Well, you got a Bible. I got a Bible. I don't have to listen to someone's opinion. I can go to the Word of God, amen? Amen? And so can you and I. So I'm talking about living a purposeful life is important for to be victorious. James 1:15, I call this the devil's LSD. In other words, he talks about being tempted, lust, and then he said leads to sin. And then he said sin leads to death. We need a purpose and fulfilling for a purposeful life and fulfilling a purpose again with a thought. And then the third thing, and we'll go home. Thinking godly thoughts keeps wrong thoughts out of our mind. I'm amazed by it, but I'm going to tell you what's true. Don't think because you get older that Satan won't put a lot of thoughts in your mind. This is a place that you have to guard all the time. But I'm going to tell you what's true. We live in a world today, everything's out. You're talking about out of the closet, everything's out of the closet. I mean, everything's now. You just ride down the street somewhere and see things that you wouldn't have saw years ago unless you went to red light district. Amen. What I'm saying, we're seeing a population just like God said it would be, and he's going to have to come back and straighten it out. Thinking godly thoughts keeps wrong thoughts out of our mind. If you don't believe that, look with me what Psalmist said in Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, if you look down about verse 10 and 11, the psalmist said this. He said in verse 10, when my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, he says, that I might not sin against thee. Isn't it amazing? He said, I wish I just didn't have to face all this. Well, hide the word of God in your heart. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you look with me in Psalms, that same psalm, verse 24, he said, thy testimonies also are my delight. In my counselor, in verse 57, he said, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. Somebody said, Lord, you're my portion. I've said in my heart. I've determined. I've purposed in my heart, dear Lord. Know what he said, that I would keep thy word. If you look over in chapter, verse 103, 104, 105, the psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Did you know the world is outside of Christ? You talk about what the Word of God do. They don't consider His Word sweet as honey. They think it's bitter because it goes against everything they talk about doing, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And he said in verse 104, though by thy precepts, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Isn't it amazing? We may not know what every false way is, but those things that we see that our false way, when this word is hidden in your heart, there'll be something rise up and against that. You can't explain it, you just know it. Then he said, thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thinking godly thoughts keeps thoughts, wrong thoughts out of our mind. Do you know what you put in the well is going to come up sooner or later? I remember years ago, we had a well on our back porch. Most of you got an age on it. You know what it was to have a well. Now, running water, you run to the creek and get it. We had a well, though. We didn't have to run to the creek. We just drew it out of the ground. But I'll tell you this. What's in the well is going to come up in the bucket sooner or later. And what's in the mine is going to come up in the mine sooner or later. And you'd be surprised what's in a well if you hadn't looked if you got one. We had one on the back porch. We could go right to the back porch and draw it out. Best water in the world for years. It went dry one year, and I never seen what's in the bottom of that thing. The government wouldn't let you drink out of that well, see what's in the bottom. Who in the world would throw stuff in? It had to be thrown in there sometime during the life of that well. Have you ever looked at the bottom of a well? If you got a well on the outside, I guarantee there's a lot of stuff, sticks and stubs, and we even seen pots and pans, and evidently they fell in accidentally. How many of you ever had a well that you had to drink off through your... Amen. Thank you. We're going to have a class and tell these young folks what it is to have to drink out of the well. You know that? And I was amazed. And sure enough, sooner or later. In fact, one time, folks, we saw a rat in there.
We didn't drink anything for a few weeks.
But you know what? Those wells had a running stream that kept it fresh. It was clean, clear water at the top. Just there was some stuff in there. But anyhow, what's in the well comes up sooner or later in a bucket. The control of mind will govern your speech. It'll guard your eyes. It'll guide your steps. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, turn there with me just a moment. Let's look at that verse, what Solomon said. Proverbs chapter 4, and down about verse 23. Amen. Well, sir, my pages are sticking together. Y'all already there? Look in verse 23 with chapter 4. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Notice he didn't say, God keep it. Solomon said, keep thy heart, you keep it, with all diligence. I think that's the type of a purposeful life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word heart is used more than 800 times in the Old Testament. Over 200 times it deals with the thought life and emotion, because not talking about the heart that pumps the blood. It's talking about the center of who you are. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. And so what occupies your thoughts controls the rest of your life. And it will do that sooner or later. Sometimes we say, we wonder how a person does what they do. They live a certain life and then all of a sudden it just goes bad. Somewhere along, thoughts came to their mind they didn't control. They didn't purposely remove it. And that's God's help. They thought they could handle it. You ever seen someone like that say they could handle it? I remember one time seeing a fella, and he's dead now, but I remember one time seeing a fella, he had alcohol. And I just said, a young man said something to him about it. And he said, I want you to know I can handle it. I said, no, you can't. Oh, don't tell me. I can handle it. And as a young man, he could. But then a couple of years later, I was walking down by the tobacco barn. He was handled all right. I heard a fuss over in the weeds, and he flattered his back. Didn't even know he was in the world. It had handled him. You can't mess with alcohol and claim you can handle it. It's too big a thing. Just cannot be it. And, of course, that guy quit drinking after that. But I'm telling you, that's the thought. I can handle it. When you're young, you think you can handle anything. Amen. You're like David. You can fight a lion. Like the little boy said, my dad killed a lion. He did, yes, sir. Well, what did you do? He said, after he killed him, I cut his head off. Amen. That's kind of, we think we can do anything, but we know we need to watch our life, occupies our thoughts, control the rest of our life sooner or later. So the thoughts, you need a purpose in life to live purposefully. You need thoughts that are needed to fulfill that purpose. And thinking godly thoughts will help us keep wrong thoughts out. So here's the formula. Thoughts leads to attitude. Then attitude leads to actions. And when you have thoughts, leads to attitude that leads to actions, then you have achievements. And achievements to live a purposeful life or not. If someone doesn't live a purposeful life, they still follow this procedure, this formula. Their thoughts led to an attitude, which in turn led to actions, which brought about an achievement, even if it's wrong. Those people who end up in the penitentiary use this same formula. They didn't know what it was, but this is what it was. They started out with thoughts, had an attitude, which in turn brought about an action, and they tried to achieve something that was wrong and got caught. On the other hand, we can have the thoughts of God through His Word. We can help us change our attitude about who we are and who He is and what we need. And we can have actions then which in turn would honor God. And the achievements will be to live a purposeful life for Him as God helps us fulfill His call in our life. Living a purposeful life is important, even in the Christian family. Father in heaven, I thank You again for the study, Lord. I guess I get much more out of it than many, but people who actually study, because I have to study much more than what I can speak in just for a few 30 minutes or so. But I pray this will be elements in our life to help us look how God is trying to get us to see who we are and that we are in His image and that we do have the right to make decisions. And dear Lord, You said that many things in the Old Testament is for our understanding, our admonition, to know that we shouldn't go after things that are wrong, because to do so, God will deal with us even as he did the Old Testament. The only thing is, thank God for the grace that we have to know you as our Heavenly Father. So we have a power. We're going to have to give more account than many Old Testament saints, Lord, because you give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't understand this exactly. Maybe it's at that time of year when people are changing course in life. Some people, certainly at school, is going into college or going into a vocation somehow or another. It's so easy to get in that change and begin to think that things are going so well. We got a job, we got a car, we got this, we got that. And Lord, we're a little bit happy, but they're headed for some days. They're going to need you. Right now, those things won't be the answer when they need you. So help us see to have a purposeful life and look at David. Lord, it won't be long. We'll bring this message about David. I believe when that happened, we're going to see. It amazes me how David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Boy, he just went through. And then within a period of time later, he was crying out to God because his house was in a mess. The Lord, he saw things. He had made some decisions that were bad. He had committed adultery. He committed also the fact of having a woman's wife, a woman's husband killed. And Lord, he came to you and sought your face, and we see what can happen to the internal side of a person when they find themselves going against what they know God says. Lord, help us learn from these things. We're no better than David. We're no better than anybody else. We have to be on guard. We have to face the things in life, Lord, with your help. We have to think godly thoughts. You can't do that without the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Lord, even then, sometimes this frail body fails. So we need to get everything we can to live a purposeful life and be like Daniel when his circumstances changed and he got as a slave in Babylon. He said, "I purpose in my heart not to eat the food on the king's table." That's not what God told us to eat. "And not drink the wine that the king drinks." And he put a challenge there, and God blessed the challenge. Help us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.